This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Chris Swift with Swift Trading in Nashville. He'll join us in a moment. First off, Brad Rippey, meteorologist, USDA, on states reporting poor to very poor pastures.
Now on the dry side, we're still dealing with some lingering drought in the Mid-Atlantic and the Central Appalachians. West Virginia leads that region. 65% of the pastures very poor to poor. Virginia not far behind at 62%. Then we've got this Rockies High Plains issue with the dryness there. Coming in this week, leading that region is Wyoming, 55% very poor to poor. New Mexico, 51%. We'd have this hot, dry summer that has really caused some deterioration of some of our western pastures and rangelands. Leading the west, Washington State, 69%. Just to the south, Oregon coming in this week at 48%, very poor to poor.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Chris Swift. Chris is a commodity broker and founder of Swift Trading Company in the Nashville area. And should I say Nashville or Brentwood?
Well, we have been all over Middle Tennessee, but right now we are currently in Brentwood, Tennessee.
And by the way, welcome to the show. Chris and I have had an opportunity to visit some over the years. And Chris, great story about how you ended up where you are today. So for those who don't know the Chris Swift story, how did you get to where you are?
Well, it's very interesting. When I was a very young man, I was broke, and I was pestering my dad for money, and he said, "Son, let me show you how to make money." We went up, and he co-signed an account for me at Merrill Lynch. I put on a trade, made enough money to pay my wife's car off and have money in the bank for the first time, and I was hooked at that point. I traded on my own for a couple of years, and then I joined J.C. Bradford & Company in 1991, became a commodity broker, learned the ropes through there, and then became very interested in the livestock markets and agricultural production. As my business grew and my knowledge grew on it, we changed a couple of firms, and we were with Rosenthal Collins Group for a while, and now we clear through ADMIS, and we have become what we consider cattlemen. We generally, when we go after clientele, it's in the cattle business. And the one thing that I learned over the years that if you're going to be successful in something, you need to, and especially in the commodities, you need to pick a market, learn there everything there is to know about that market, and then you can go after clientele in that market. So I just entrenched myself in everything that I could learn about it. I visited every cattle producer I could find, went to all the sale barns and walked around in the mud and the manure and talked to people, and to this day have just built a very good, sound business on helping individuals manage the price risk that's inherent in livestock production.
Okay, well, one of the you picked a good one, the cattle market, because wow, what a change we've seen over the last, I'm going to say, 4 to 5 years, where the profits were all in the packers' portion of the pie. And obviously, we moved that the portions of that pie around from time to time. But then it switched over and got into the cow-calf guy, right?
It did. And we continue to see cattle production is very cyclical. All throughout my career, I have been told that, and I have seen it, and it's a little bit of a boom and bust type business, some similar to the energy markets there, where it's either really, really good or it's really, really bad, and there's very few times where it's status quo. But we have really become very interested in the last 4 years because we're coming off a major low of excessive building of the herd. When we reached the 2020 level, we saw a large influx of liquidity come out into the country because of the government spending $3.5 trillion for the COVID relief. And that began to boost the economy, boost cattle production, beef consumption, because people had money now that may not have had that money before. It continued to roll until really just about this summer. Because through the last 2 years, it has been seen by the industry that if we can't keep killing at this rate, we're going to run out of cattle and run out of beef. So the industry began rationing cattle. they began keeping the price up so high that fewer and fewer people could participate in the industry. To the consumer, we see retail beef prices still at the highest level for 4 years now, again, rationing the consumer from over-consuming and even raising the price that much higher. So interesting how that the industry has been able to do that, and we have increased our imports, we have decreased our exports, and we have started to explore alternative markets in the beef and dairy cross. I find that a very interesting aspect, and as we see more and more investment dollars go into that particular beef-dairy cross, we think it's here to stay and will continue to make a very important impact on beef production going forward. So fast forward to today, we've done a lot of things that has helped to control or to reduce that desire or demand to keep running prices up. And seemingly like we may have hit one of those levels where everybody's going to sit back and take just a little bit of breather, see prices don't decline just a little bit. We're right in the midst of the consumer potentially having to shift again in discretionary spending, because we've not seen hardly any relief in the inflation at all. That's seemingly what seems to be hampering people more than anything.
Okay. You've got a commentary called Shooting the Bull, and I'm on the website right now. It's Shooting the Bull. That's Shooting, I-N, thebull.com. And as I looked through that, I came across something I don't think I'd ever noticed before, and that is the cycle of the Elliott Wave Theory. Tell me more about that.
Well, back in my early youth, when I was trying to find out how to trade, what to trade, analysis, I had a friend of mine from Merrill Lynch that put me with a broker named John Gambino. He was the senior technical metal analyst for Merrill Lynch. I got to spend a few weeks with him, and he was a very big advocate of the Elliott Wave. And remember that prior to all of the computerized and algorithmic trading, we all had to think on our own feet. We all had to do things that were nothing but human interaction. Now we have computers that can use alternative alternative information. They can do all different kinds of things. The speed in which they can trade and pull and inquire bids to the market is just phenomenal. So there are some differences between back then when humans were only participating in it and now we have the computers. Long story short, the Elliott Wave Theory is based upon cyclical production of either a company or a commodity, and it tends to run the cycles to it. And through the five waves up, we tend to, in this particular case of the cattle market, we've gone through multiple different fundamental scenarios that has produced a jump in price, correction in prices sometimes, and then further jumping of it. But each one of those different cycles that we hit within that bull market contends to weaken it. Because what are we doing? We're trying to bring in more inventory. A higher price begins to excel people to go out there and make some of that money that's out there. So we see that when all that is met and we begin to see where we're creating greater supplies than what we thought, prices begin to turn back down again. So I have used it over and over again, and my real success to it from it probably is it's kept me from going broke. It may not have made me any more money, but just following a few of the rules and kind of believing that some of it is psychological to the production of different commodities kind of helps me to form ideas. And from those ideas, I get a risk to reward relationship on some of the trades that I recommend. And then we just see what happens from there.
You know, again, I think oftentimes we, and I say we as in me, I talk about futures prices, and we're either in the positive, we're in the black, or we're in the red, we're losing. And look at it from a producer's perspective, whether it's a cow-calf, stocker, or even the feeder's perspective. But it's important to note that even when those are red, you can be okay if you've got strategies in place. Have I set that up properly for you?
Yeah, well, what we're looking at is we're managing risk. We know that price risk is inherent in commodity production. There are certain things we can do nothing about. I can't control the weather, floods, droughts, political unrest. I can't change any of that. So what we do is we prepare ourselves, and we look at those prices, and as you stated, we can look out, and today could be the highest or the lowest price, or the future could be the highest or lowest prices. And so when we view, where do I want to procure inventory, I want to procure it at the lowest price. Is that today, or is that out into the future? And if it is into the future there, how much do I have to pay for it? How much cheaper is it there? And can I get it from point A to point B for the same amount of money? So those are the type aspects that we're looking at when there is, where do we see the prices the lowest? Where do we see prices the highest? And then we can move to try to obtain those prices. By doing that, we are fixing a specific level that we're willing to pay for or willing to market at.
All right. So a lot going on there. As we kind of wrap up, about a minute left, are you optimistic about where we're headed? There's a lot of uncertainty in front of us, but are you optimistic, cautiously optimistic, concerned?
I am. I believe that this cycle is complete, Tony. I think that we have run 4 years in an upward market, and the industry has done a fabulous job at increasing beef production when a lot of producers never believed we could. So I have to lean on it from the aspect that I see economic aspects going on that don't lead me to believe that the consumer will be able to continue to spend at the levels they have for the last 4 years. Therefore, I have to believe that with a really high price of beef and a really high price of cattle and the consumer unable to spend at those levels again, we see the price come down. We already saw between the 1st of August and this week an enormous drop in the futures. And what we did is we went from an even basis to now a very sharp positive basis, and we've shifted the risk now. For those that needed to sell, it's not quite as good to sell out into the future as it is today. But when we look at the cattle feeder that needs to procure inventory, he's able to buy product in the future cheaper now that he couldn't be able to before in the past.
Okay. Once again, if we want to talk with Chris Swift one-on-one, can we reach you through the internet?
Absolutely, at swifttradingco.com, and feel free to contact us at any time.
Chris Swift with Swift Trading in the Nashville area on today's Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 ply lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Chris Swift with Swift Trading in Nashville. In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Chris Swift, Swift Trading online, swifttradingco.com.
Attention High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 ply lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
So far during this growing season, most crop producers are seeing
good conditions across most of the commodities, across most of the country.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski says many producers have been holding on to old crop supplies longer than normal, hoping for higher prices, which have not materialized.
Prices are relatively low. Farmers are selling now, you know, emptying out their bins, getting ready for the fall harvest, but they're selling into those multi-year low prices.
Mark says the pace of selling is accelerating as the new crop is developing.
A lot of farmer selling going on right now to try to make room for what is, you know, right now looking like it could be a pretty big fall harvest.
How big? We'll get a good idea about that this Monday when USDA releases its new forecast for crop supplies and demand, including production, exports, and average prices. Gary Crawford, Washington.